Okay, welcome back to Slightly Super, the director's cut where we complain about Hollywood and how they cannot understand what a book is. Like, did they even read it? Did they even
exactly.
Like,
did you even read this book?
I feel like you just read the title, saw the cover, like, oh, I know what that is. No.
Oh my gosh.
No, you didn't. Stop acting like you did.
There's an adaptation that is like true to the spirit of the book, but the plot is not even.
Oh no, I was watching Umbrella Academy. It's just like, well, how faithful is the state of the books? It's inspired by the comic books. But to be honest,
right, we checked out some fan art and thought we could do a really awesome plot like this.
Yeah. To be honest, fan art sometimes is better than the actual. Okay. So, I'm Alex.
I'm Kara.
I'm Rachel.
And this is Slightly Super, the director's cut. And today, if you listen to the hopefully 10-minute version by this point, you will know that we're talking about books. Or maybe I'll talk about comic books, because there are some things I want to complain about. And we're going to be talking about how we feel about those things. I talked about I Am Legend and World War Z in the previous one. I may come back to those, but anyway. So, the Maze Runner books were good. Like, nothing totally can complain about, except for this one thing that I'm going to really rant about. Okay, so in the books, Thomas and Teresa, I think that's her name. I don't know because I didn't care about her. I don't know because I didn't care about this character. And Thomas and Teresa have this like psychic connection where they can talk to each other through each other's thoughts. I think that's the most stupid thing. It's just stupid. Like, if you're going to do telekinetic, whatever it's called, like telepathic. It's called telepathic. Yeah. If you're going to do a telepathic thing, just do a whole entire supernatural story. I mean, it's just, I think in a science fiction thing, it's just stupid. It's just dumb. And when they didn't do that in the movie, I was so happy. Because that would have been really, really weird. Then again, I haven't watched the last one, but I know a lot of people die, and I just, like, ugh. And I'm back to the point. I was complaining about Maze Runner. Okay.
I was complaining about Maze Runner. I was just like, oh my god, I was crying. I was sobbing. Maze Runner. I'm angry now.
Okay. So, I think Maze Runner is a good movie by itself. I can't, honest to god, remember how well it followed the books, because I don't remember all the events from the book, so someone's gonna have to rant to me about that. Mm-hmm. Probably not anyone in this room.
No.
But someone on Twitter, hopefully. Anyway, so the next one is Shadowhunters. So,
hated that book series so much. I read the entire book series, but I hated it. And I'm just like, why do I keep reading these books? It's like,
no,
I invested three other books into this one, so.
I solidly read the first three. The next, like, two or three, I don't know how many after, I sort of, like, just started skimming. And then,
because they took a lot of the characters out at that point, and I was just like, wait, this is like a prequel backstory, like, I don't even, like, where's the main person?
No, oh, Claire.
I didn't like her either.
Nah, I don't blame you. She's really whiny.
I liked Alec.
I liked Alec and Magnus.
And Magnus.
Magnus, mm-hmm. like the show. I was gonna compare this to the show. Okay, so the show doesn't follow the book like at all. But in some respects, I think it's good because she did write it like I think what 2006, 2005. So I think they just upgraded it. They just updated it too. And I like this version of it better because, like, there are so many things that I hate about the Shadow World. It's just like, you guys are such pricks. You have sticks shoved up your asses. Let me Anyway.
It was so dumb. But I liked it because it was the first book series that I read when I was younger with a canon gay couple.
Yeah.
So, like, that's why I liked it.
But I think the best part of the TV series that they like definitely have Malik.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, they could have a show based off Malik, and have Clay running in the background and be like, oh yeah, you're good. Like, where's Malik?
When you care more about side characters and the B couple than you do the main characters and the main couple. I think that says something about the, the thing.
But the thing is that we already know how Clary is going to end up with Jace. I already know the drama between Clary and Jace. I know how stupid it is. I know how ridiculous it is. So I don't need to go through 6 seasons of Clary and Jace pining after each other. I already know about it. I already know. So that's why I wanted to see Magnus, because there's always juicy drama between Alec and Magnus, and it's so adorable, okay? You can't fight me on this. It's adorable. Like, there was one... Okay?
I'm sorry, I laughed because I agree with you. Just like...
And then, yeah, but, like, they also sort of, like, show, like, they don't just have it, like, oh, now they're together. Like, you know, like, in the background of, like, Harry Potter, you see characters getting together? Like, I haven't reread the Shadowhunter series, mainly because I don't want to reread the Shadowhunter series. But they're so cute so Simon's like probably my favorite character because he's the best character. Don't fight me. I will murder you.
I'm not gonna fight you. I do disagree just a little bit.
No, he's like my favorite underneath Alec and Magnus.
I like Simon as a character. I do. I hate how he follows her around though.
Yes, but that's the point though. I think that's
a big part of his character.
That's a point. The point of his character, though, is.
And just, if they would write him more of a character arc than just getting over her, I might be able to deal with it a little bit better.
Yeah. Let's not talk about how Cassandra Clare decided to put them together just to tease Simon.
That was cruel.
No, I say shame on Clare. For doing that rebound. She could have found any boy. But she went after Simon because she specifically knew that he would go out with her. Okay? Okay.
Okay.
So, what else do I have to say? Oh, comic books. If any of you... We're actually getting back to where we started this!
What?! The reason we were supposed to be here in the first place!
It feels like deja vu. I've been to this place. I've been here before!
How many comic book episodes have we even had?
Technically, we were supposed to have 2. But the Dark Phoenix episode, where we all agreed that Jane What's-Her-Face doesn't even deserve the title of a character.
It was unfortunate and lost, and will have to be re-recorded closer to the date of which Dark Phoenix is going to drop, because they pushed it back again.
Did they push that again?
Yep. Yeah.
I thought, are they just never going to release it? Because of the thing between Disney and Fox?
Schrodinger's movie.
I don't know. I am like, I'm glad that we have more time so that we can re-record.
Yeah.
But I'm really like, this better be a great movie for the amount of time you're making me wait for it. Like, this better be awesome, you guys. If it sucks even a little bit, I'm going to be so mad.
So I haven't read a lot of Marvel comic books. In all honesty, so I may not get their gist. I haven't read back to when they first began, like in 19, God knows when. I should know. I kind of wrote an article about Stan Lee, but I can't remember.
Guys, my brain holds a lot of information. You can't expect me to be able to hang up like every fact.
It holds a lot of useless information, but definitely not the important information I need to hold on to. I tried to read some of the Spider-Man comic books, but in my opinion, like, the best version of Spider-Man is Spider-Man and Deadpool. That's the best comic book of Spider-Man. There's a lot of, like, Spider-Man comics that people choose to forget. Like, that never happened. I don't know what you're talking about.
Sometimes as a fan that you have to do that.
And luckily in comic books you have that freedom because they're constantly rewriting the canon.
Oh, yeah. Like. Oh, yeah. Marvel's done it numerous times. I think DC just did it, like, 2 years ago. But I like the reboot that DC did, so. One thing I do have to say about changing characters is that Green Arrow is never consistent in how much of a jokester he is. What they did do better in Arrow is that the comic books tend to focus much more on Green Arrow than they do on Oliver Queen. And, like, you see, and he does have, like, character development, but I don't think as much as what we've seen in the Arrow TV show. But let's dial it back to Constantine, because you all know how much of a, I can't say that word I am, for,
for Constantine. I can't say that word I am. We need to have like a dictionary of words we are allowed to say. Like I don't know if y'all have ever seen the Tim Hawkins alternative cuss words thing.
Okay, so John Constantine is like, is basically Batman, but like lives not even from paycheck to paycheck. He just lives in the House of Mystery, and I don't understand how he manages to survive, but he does. And he's my favorite alcoholic, chain smoker, British man.
Highly specific.
Chain smoker, alcoholic, magic user. That isn't Sherlock pretending to be Doctor Strange.
Alex is trying to kill me. I have not been able to breathe a full breath for like the last 30 seconds.
We're never gonna be able to get
through. This is a coup. You're trying to murder me. I swear to God. Someone avenge me, damn it.
Okay. So in the comic books, like the vibe I get from him, he's just like, this shit again. Mm-hmm. Really? We're doing this again. And depending on which, like, I'm currently, like, reading, like, the original, like, 1988 version of Constantine. Mm-hmm. That went from 1988 to, like, 2000, I think, like, 5.
Wow.
That long. Yeah. But, yeah, I get, like, he's much more, a bit more intense in, like, The Legends of Tomorrow, but I'm really glad they brought him back because that TV show was shit. I'm sorry, Matt Ryan, but it was shit.
I'm sure Matt Ryan knows.
Like, there were good points in it that were like, oh yeah, that's definitely, like, something you'd see in the comic book. But, mm-hmm. like, the story arc itself, like, was very, like, jumbled. And there were things that they forgot. Like, they weren't plot holes, they just forgot to talk about them again. Like, and I feel like you're gonna say to me, that's basically the definition of a plot hole, Alex.
Yeah.
Like, what can you possibly mean? I mean, legit, they introduced this character and just never spoke of them again! Like, oh yeah, this is Jasper's kid. She's alive. She can attract trouble. Now let's just go on to this person. And they didn't even introduce Zatanna. And Zatanna's like the only moral compass John Constantine has.
Alex is very passionate about this particular topic. But wait until you hear Rachel talk about Ben-Hur.
Oh boy.
And then, it's okay, I can edit out, like, half of my stuff, because mm-hmm. I'm just listing off things at this point. Okay, so, then there's Tony Stark in the comic books, compared to the Tony Stark, you know what I'm talking about.
Marvel Cinematic Universe,
and then there's also the animated version, mm-hmm. which is weird. And
they're all so different.
Yeah, but, like, there are some really, like, cool moments where Tony Stark is turned back into a kid, because I think he tries to, like, do something with the time stone or something. I don't remember. And basically, Captain America's there trying to make sure he doesn't do anything stupid. Tony Stark in the comic books is a pretty weird dude. Pretty freaking weird dude. And he, like, there are some things that I could list off, but I'm not 100% sure which canon they're in. So, anyway. But one of the standout highlight moments is of this current generation of Marvel superheroes that are in canon is how he brought back James Rhodey from death, because Captain Marvel kind of got him killed, but he didn't bring back Bruce Banner. So what do you want to say, Tony? I mean, come on.
Apparently, Tony wanted to say sorry, Bruce.
No. But that discussion about Captain Marvel is for a different podcast, because in the so many people killed. Anyway, so
to Kara. Hi, guys. Okay, so since I did not do an example of a book to movie that I actually enjoyed the first time around, I'm going to do it now, and that's going to have to be Hunger Games, the first one. Not any of the rest of them, because the books and the movies were terrible.
No, the first book is good. The second two, like, I refuse to read Mockingjay. That's the book, right. The book I just refuse to read. I read the ending. It was a slightly happy ending, so I was like, okay, that's fine. I ignored the other.
Everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like that was, like, and that was the problem that she had with the books. Is she started off really good, and her foundation was fine with Hunger Games, and then you get to, like, Catching Fire,
she tried to do the gravy train again. Do the theme again. It's just like there's other ideas in that world you could have gone to. Like, what about a different continent? What about, like,
yeah, there were ways that she could have expanded on it, but just didn't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, like, it felt like kind of stuck. And then I keep telling, I'm like, okay, well, you know, like, sequels are often like that. So, like, maybe the third book will be better, because the third one's, you know, sometimes it catches up where the second book fell down. And then it was just worse, because I felt like she was just trying to, like, write an ending. And she was like, just write an ending. Just find the end. Where's the end?
The end? I lost it. Where'd you meet? What do you mean an end?
Exactly. I felt like she just kept writing, and then she was like, okay, that's enough. Like, we'll just chop it off here. I got like 3 pages left. Okay, 3 pages. I can write an ending. And that was how I felt it was. But the first book to film adaptation, it actually went really well from what I remember. This was back in the day when I was like really, really...
Oh, I forgot about one character that I really, really hate.
I'm sorry. It's the vampire something.
The vampire something.
Is it vampire? Get me notes. It's something with vampire, and the main character is named Rose, and she is an absolute idiot. She the very first book, she's so stupid. They ask, "Where's your heart?" And she says, "Is it here?" It's just like you.
If anybody knows what we're talking about, that stuff, can you please tweet us the book and film name?
We just want to talk to whoever made it. We just have something to say.
No, not the movie, the book.
Book.
Oh my god. Book. And then she repeats herself over and over and over again. And she's just like, this didn't work the first time, Rose. What makes you think it's going to work the next time?
Few crayons short of a Crayola box.
Oh, she's a couple dozen crayons short of a Crayola box. She's got two settings: kill or be an absolute idiot and pine after the boyfriend who's sort of just not in love with you anymore.
Go off.
Okay, so I read the book before I went to watch the movie, because that's something like I had really strong principles about, like, back in the day, mm-hmm. when I had time to read books before I went and watched movies. So, like, I really liked this particular book. I hadn't read the rest of the series at that point in time. And I thought, okay, I'm going to go and watch the movie. I'm going to have an open mind about it and everything. I know how this particular thing usually goes, so it's probably going to have, like, a really low bar.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be, I'm just like, it's going to be okay. I'm going to watch it, and I'm going to like it for the good parts. And it actually surprised me, like, how well they followed the book. There were a few things in there that were kind of, like, off, but it was not nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be. So I consider that a win.
Yeah. I liked the guy who played Finn or whatever. No, it wasn't Finn. It was the guy...
Which one? PETA or Gale?
No, I'm talking about the second book. The guy who played...
the hot one.
Finnick. Yeah. There we go. He's hot. I like him.
He's hot.
Sam Claflin. Sam Claflin's the one who plays.
I'm sorry, but he is.
we're just speaking the truth here, folks. That's all we do.
Anyways, moving on to Game of Thrones. Guys, I hate HBO for what they did to this series.
That's like, why you just watched Westworld.
Legit. Okay. So, aside from the fact that they had to cut out so many characters, I understand why you had to cut out these characters, because, like, there's already, like, 100 people on this cast list, and you're gonna kill half of them this season anyway, so you're still gonna have, like, 50 people. It is, like, just the way that it was written, it was written as, like, this intertwining, viney, like, rosebush kind of thing, and sometimes you get these really awesome stories, and sometimes you get these stories that turn out to be, like, you know, really painful when you try to read them.
Mm-hmm.
And not painful in the way that this is really bad writing, but painful in the way of, like, I liked all of those people, and you're making that's this so hard for me to read.
That's why you only like one character, and if they die, you're just like, oh, well, I can't finish the series now.
That's how I felt about The Walking Dead. Yes.
Didn't they kill off, like, their main character in The Walking Dead? Yeah,
my mom read the comic books. I don't know if he dies in the comic books or not.
Okay, anyways, Game of Thrones. Guys, they destroyed character plot lines. There are boobs in this thing, but that shouldn't be the only thing HBO cares about.
Hey, boobs, butts, sex sells.
That was all they got right. And I'm just like, you killed people and you showed us breasts. And like, there was this dwarf dude and there was this tall guy who was his brother. And that was about it. Also, winter is coming because like, you can't say that enough times.
Wasn't winter coming for like...
It's been coming for like 5 books now. They ain't got to winter yet. They're like in mid-autumn.
No, like, the only time winter came was in the first book. Or the first episode. When they killed a bunch of people.
Yeah.
When the White Walkers killed a bunch of people.
They killed a bunch of people. Just, okay, like... Okay, I could have dealt with it. I really could have. But Khal Drogo... They destroyed his character for me. They made him...
Wait, the guy who's played by...
Aquaman. Yeah. So, like... Guys, they played his scenes all wrong. He is not, like, just the weird rapist guy. Okay? Also, the blonde girl, I don't know her name. Her actor's name, I don't know her actor's name.
Amelia Clark. She's been some other things, but this was her first major project.
Right. She was an excellent Daenerys, mm-hmm. by the way. I love the way that she brought the character to life. So there were some good things about this. Like, I loved Ned Stark's character. I loved King Robert's character.
Did you love Joffrey? Did the guy who played Joffrey play him right?
Yes. All things considered as to what that means. But yes. He did a very good job bringing this particular character who I hated and wanted to kill myself several times life.
You know the way to kill your least favorite killer? Character, just to burn the book.
You don't burn books, Alex. You do not burn books.
Haven't we had this discussion before? If Hitler tried it, maybe go another direction.
They really did some. They did some things good, but because they just destroyed this one particular character's character arc, I don't care if they were gonna kill him in like the same book. I didn't appreciate it at all. In the TV series, he was actually very caring toward his Khaleesi. He was very polite to her. He learned little tidbits of English so that he could communicate with her. And in the film, he just raped her and that was it. And I couldn't deal with them diminishing his character in that way. Mm-hmm. And if they did it with this person, they could do it with as many characters as they wanted to, because I obviously didn't care about keeping the integrity of the book alive. So that's why it died for me. I am still reading the book series as of right now.
Why bother if the TV series isn't going to follow it?
Because I don't care. They're dead to me. HBO can go suck a dick. I don't care. Because I don't care what HBO does. I'm going to read these books and hopefully I pray that the series will be finished by the time the author has moved on to the next world. Mm-hmm. Please finish the book series, sir. I need to know what happens. Anyway, that's all I wanted to talk about. Rachel,
you can... Okay. All the book series is done.
So, Ben-Hur, I have a couple more things to say about that, and then I'm going to try and move on to something else I don't like. So, the 2016 Ben-Hur, I also felt the acting was bad, and I felt that they were not as subtle as the 1959 version, mm-hmm. which is weird, because you would think something from the 50s would be a little more, you know...
No, be going backwards in time, honey.
I know... apparently, from what we've seen with Room with a View in the 2007 versus the 1985 versus the original novel from the Edwardian era, yeah, apparently we are going backwards. So those are some of my main issues with Ben-Hur is, like, I think it was a very, like, the costuming was good, if I remember right, but that's mm-hmm. about as good as I can say about it.
I did like that they updated the costumes, and yeah. I liked, like, the CGI that they tried to place mm-hmm. into it. It was very nice. It was tastefully done, but, like, everything else about it was just kind of...
Yeah. I felt like... I don't know. I'm not a big fan of shaky cam mm-hmm. as far as filming
action. Did you mean 70% of the high frames?
Well, Yeah, I guess. I didn't see the Hunger Games movies, so.
There was a lot of Shakespeare. Yeah.
And what I liked about the 1959 one is because it was the 50s and they couldn't get as close to the chariots as they can now, it's a lot of wider shots, so you can see what's going on and you can see the action a little clearer. And the Ben-Hur, I feel like they tried to get too close constantly. And so that's another problem I have with the chariot scene in the 2016 versus the 1959. Okay, other bad adaptations. This one's not necessarily so much bad, it's just very different. Jurassic Park was a book before it was a movie. And I read the book before I ever saw the movie. But so Jurassic Park, I read the book before I saw the movie. I don't think the movie's bad. I'm going to preface that. I don't think the movie's bad. I think as a movie, it is good. But as an adaptation, I don't think it's that. I don't think it's a good adaptation, even if it is a very good movie. And I do love the Jurassic Park movies. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. Because the deal is from the movie to the book, or from the book to the movie. From the book to the movie, if you look at each one independently, different people die. I mean, some of the same mm-hmm. people survive.
The hunter never died originally, did he?
No, the hunter never died originally. In the book, Ian Malcolm dies. His leg gets... I liked him, too. And I was kind of sad that they killed him off. I was like, I'm having a sad. But if it's any consolation, the park owner also dies. And he doesn't get a redemption arc like he does in the movie. He stays terrible.
That.
Yeah, I like that. I actually like that aspect of the book because what happens is, like in the movie, he has some redeeming qualities even before his redemption arc. He legitimately cares about his grandchildren. He legitimately cares about the people who work at his park and the people who visit his park. Mm-hmm. In the book, there is no such thing. He's in it for the money. He doesn't care. And his staff tries to tell him this is a bad idea. The people at his park try to tell him it's a bad idea. And he doesn't care about his grandkids. He's just like, get them out of my sight. And what happens is Malcolm is dying at the time. And so the park owner, his name escapes me, goes outside to walk around. And he starts blaming everyone else for every problem he had. It was Wu's fault. It was Malcolm's fault. It was all these other people's fault. It's not me. It can't possibly be me. And he starts planning a better park. And what that's going to look like. And he's going to find better people. And he's going to build better dinosaurs. And the Coelophysis in the book is poisonous. And it has like a narcotic agent when it bites you. So you start feeling loopy after it bites you. And then it starts eating you alive.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those comes out. And they travel in packs. And there's several groups. And one of them bites him. And as he's dreaming about his park, they eat his own creations, eat him alive. And there's something poetic about that in the book that I really like.
Right. I really appreciate that particular mm-hmm. symbolism. I like when writers do this.
Mm-hmm. Michael Crichton was brilliant. Mm-hmm. I really think that. And one thing I do appreciate, though, from the movie to the book that they changed is how Nedry dies. In the movie...
Who's Ned?
Nedry is the guy who he played someone... The actor played someone on Seinfeld.
He's the big guy.
Dodson! Dodson's here! That guy.
See? Nobody cares.
Yeah, no one cares. Yeah.
puts the shaving cream on the pie.
Yes. Which, side note, Dodson is actually the arch villain of the second book, which the second movie of... they develop his character a lot more in the second book. And in the movie, he's not even there. And I'm still bitter a little bit about the second movie not being it's an even worse adaptation of the book. I'm going to say that. I'm not going to go into depth there because I don't care about the second book that much or the second movie. But anyway, so first movie. Nedry's death in the movie, you don't really see it. It's kind of implied that it's horrific because you see... you see this dinosaur stick its head into the car and he starts screaming, and then there's a cutaway shot of the car rocking around wildly and Nedry screaming in horror, mm-hmm. and that's it. In the book, his death scene is from his perspective,
and he is ripped out. His organs are ripped out. It's like, he loses his glasses. And it's like constantly stated he's got very bad eyesight.
Like me. And
yeah. We can relate to this guy. So he's got very bad eyesight. It's dark and it's raining and his car crashes or something and he loses his glasses in the process. And he can hear the dinosaur, but he can't see it. And the dinosaur attacks him and he knows he's been injured, but he doesn't know how, and he moves his hands to his stomach, and he realizes that he's holding his own intestines.
Whoops.
Yeah. And it's like, and he describes it in depth, and then he realizes the dinosaur is right on top of him, and he just is like, there's nothing I can do. It's going to eat me alive. And that's how it ends. And that chilled me. I read this book at like 13, 14, and that chilled me even
it's time
back
to go
then.
To bed.
Yeah. And my mom when we watched the movie, my mom was like, why are you so scared? This isn't that scary of a scene. And then she read the book. And she was like, okay, I read about Nedry. She's like sitting there in the den like this. But the book is more intense, I think, in that sense that a lot of the deaths are first person perspective. But there is also some poetry in some of the way some of the characters die and who dies. Mm-hmm. And in the movie, the things they changed make sense in that they changed some of the characters. One thing I don't like about the films, though, is what they did to Henry Wu.
Did he never turn into a villain?
He never turns into a villain in the book. He starts, he's one of the people who starts telling the park owner, this is a bad idea, and you've changed their genetic code. You can't predict their behavior, not even just because they're extinct animals, but because, you know, we've changed them. They're not authentic dinosaurs to begin with. Mm-hmm. And
it's when you give them dog genes and be like, yo, just roll in the blood and let me rub you down.
So I liked Wu in the book, and I don't like him in the movies. But so, anyway, so that's Jurassic Park. And Never Ending Story is the other one.
I watched part of that, but I couldn't get into it.
Oh gosh, the movie is so terrible. I couldn't even get through the movie, but I finished the book, and I love the book. My mom thinks the book is bizarre. I don't think
she likes it. Can't be more bizarre
than that movie. Yeah. The book is pretty bizarre as well, but it's like a good bizarre. I think it's a bizarre that works. And on one hand, I don't like the protagonist of the book, but I still was able to enjoy the book as a whole because I liked the story world and I liked the descriptions of the places and all of the mythical creatures and things. The movie did not get any of the descriptions right, and I think part of that is because it was a low-budget German film from the 80s. So I know some people grew up with that movie, and so if you're on Twitter and you're upset, I'm sorry. I didn't grow up with that movie. I don't care. The book is better. And so the thing that bothered me about the movie was they didn't stick with the descriptions of the characters and the mythical creatures. And that I know that that's not always a problem because in some things, it's okay to change what the character, how the character appears from the book versus in the movie, either because the actor is better or anything like that. But there's no reason to that I could think of for the Neverending Story.
Of this one.
Yeah, that is the 1984 one.
I didn't realize it was
from
German.
It's German. The book is German too. Michael Landau was from Germany. Let me see. So in the book, Atreyu, who is the
protagonist. There's two sequels. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, there's two sequels?
Yeah.
I just knew about one of them.
Two.
Oh, cool. So Atreyu in the book is green. His whole people group they're green people. And I don't remember what they're called, but they are green. And in the movie, he just looks like a normal kid. And like, he's dressed like he's in a fantasy world, but he's not green. And that bothered me a little. The dragon being that, the name of that escapes me, it looks dog-like instead of dragon-like, and that bothered me.
It does.
Yeah. And then the very beginning scene of the movie, this is what tipped me off to, this is going to be a heck of a ride. It was the Night Hob. It's like, the book begins, there's four delegates from different parts of the setting that are going to meet with the childlike empress to tell her about the darkness that is encroaching on their land. And there's like a giant, and there's a creature called a Night Hob, and I forgot what the other two are. And the Night Hob is described in depth, and when he's described, I thought, oh, he's like a sort of a caterpillar thing with really big eyes. Mm. He looks like a human, like the Mad Hatter on drugs in the film, for lack of a better description.
Well, you also have to consider the budget that they
had. I know.
Don't get me wrong, it doesn't give him any excuse, but it's just sort of like, it may not, if they were to reboot it today, I'm pretty sure they'd be able to get those descriptions that you're thinking of in your mind, the way that they described it. It would have been better if they hadn't made it with today's ability to do CGI, like how they did Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
Like, if they had done that in, like, the, like, was 90s or 80s, that would have been real weird.
Oh, yeah.
Real trippy.
Oh, just take acid before it. It'll feel great.
And I know that's probably what it is, because you get that as well. There was a BBC Narnia adaptation in, I think it was the 70s or 80s. And now there's the new one. And C.S. Lewis's whole thing was he didn't want the Narnia books to be adapted for film during his lifetime, because he knew the effects were not going to be good and it was going to be a terrible movie. So so they waited 20 years and the effects are still terrible. And
then they're still not great.
Yeah, and then you have the 2000s one, which were pretty good for their time, I would think. Maybe I'm looking at it through the lens of nostalgia because I was a child when those movies were made. But at the same time,
no, they're not bad.
They're not bad.
There are quite a few things that they did better as far as CGI and visual aesthetic is, but I still feel like it could probably still be a little bit better.
Yeah, they missed some things about that, particularly with Voyage of the Dawn Treader. Voyage of the Dawn Treader is very episodic as a book, which makes sense because of what Lewis was trying to evoke. In a literary sense, of he was trying to evoke there's a genre of Irish medieval literature that is just people going on journeys on boats to get to mythical islands, specifically the Island of the Blessed. The Voyage of St. Brendan the Navigator is one of these Irish.
Sounds like a D&D campaign.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a D&D campaign in a book form, basically. Which any book, I guess, could be considered a D&D.
No, but that especially sounds like, okay, roll for probability.
Oh, gosh. Now that I think about it, I want to write a D&D campaign that is the Voyage of St. Brendan the Navigator, because that would be awesome.
Roll for probability. Whoops, you rolled a one. You get attacked by the Kraken.
Yeah, that happens, I'm pretty sure.
No, it would. Yeah.
Since it's hard to, I guess, adapt an episodic story like that for film, although it can be done, I would think.
That's the thing. Like, there are some TV series that, like, I think, like, The Shadowhunters is better told as episodic, because I think trying to cram that much information into one thing is just really difficult.
And I think that is the problem that they had with this.
Yeah, and Percy Jackson, like, I don't think the movie was too terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Was it faithful to its source material? No, but were there some absolutely fantastic adventures in the book that could never be reproduced on a film screen?
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be very difficult to do, for especially with how many things happen just in the first, like, five chapters of that book.
Mm-hmm.
So I think sometimes you do, like, Hollywood is just stupid and tries to turn things into movies that shouldn't be turned into movies.
Exactly. And yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever read Outlander?
No.
Seen the TV series?
I've heard of the TV series. My mom started reading the first book.
So, this has been Slightly Super, complaining about how Hollywood should be
better at their job.
How they should be arrested for their crimes against humanity.
That's fair.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll go with that.
I can handle that, okay.
Okay.
and should maybe just think about if there's a really overarching storyline, maybe think about turning it into like a TV series that isn't crappy like Shadowhunters, and maybe focus on the real couple in the room, Malik.
The real couple, the one guy, Malik.
So yeah. Next episode, we will be talking about Infinity War Endgame. But probably not in the director's cut as much, because there's some like fan theories that like I really want to talk about. Like, imagine if that when Thanos snapped, everyone forgot the person who was erased from existence.
Don't do this to me. I don't want Steve to forget Bucky.
No, but imagine if it did. Imagine if that happened. Imagine if when he snapped.
You know, that would actually close quite a few plot holes that I'm, like, envisioning happening here. Like, if people didn't remember that this particular loved one existed at all, then their happiness wouldn't be averted by their not being there.
But imagine Tony Stark holding Peter Parker, him saying, I'm sorry, Mr. Stark, and then disappearing, and then Tony Stark forgetting why he's there on the planet.
Did you just rip my heart out and show it to me? You did this to me?
Imagine Rocket Raccoon sitting with Thor and then forgetting about Baby Groot and Star-Lord and going back to his life of crime and ending back up in the jail cell.
I can't watch that. If that's what Guardians 3 is, I don't want to watch it.
Did I just break Kara?
You know, I guess if nothing else, if this particular plot line were enacted, it would mean that we would have definitive proof that Loki were still alive because Thor would remember him.
Imagine if the one person who did remember was Steve Rogers.
Why would you do that to someone? Why do you have to do that to someone? Poor Steve has done so much for the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Okay, what is worse? Steve being the only person who remembers, or what Will described as a possibility for Steve's death in our Captain Marvel review?
I never listened to that, so.
It was, okay, you just need to listen to the review. Okay, because
so, and then, but what if, but what, okay, so imagine the flip side. Imagine if only Tony Stark remembered, and he...
Tony already has, like, mental issues. It's fine. He'll drink and be merry.
He's got enough trauma. Okay. That's a little more.
At least he remembered why he was on the strange planet.
Mm-hmm. No, but imagine if that did happen, when he just couldn't remember why he was there in the first place, or who he was with.
Well, if he couldn't remember, neither can Nebula, and they probably kill one another, so...
Mm. Yeah, but imagine that if the person you snapped, the person who you got snapped away, you just forgot about them entirely. But because magic's weird, a couple people remembered, and they're all trying to convince everyone that something's wrong. And imagine having that, like, feeling of, like deja vu, like when you're doing something, and you think... And for like a split second, you almost remember the person that you lost, and then you go back to forgetting them.
Okay, so like when the snap happens, if we're doing this whole memory thing, does it also erase like their documented evidence that they were alive and were a person?
No,
because like that's gonna be really trippy. Ooh.
No, well, that would be good. If like now I want to read that of like Steve.
I can write
remember
that.
Bucky.
But he has the photos. Yes. He has everything. But he can't remember. Imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine like one person, like not like one person, but like several people who like from like average citizens to like one of the Avengers being like, you don't remember Peter? You don't remember Peter? But Peter, like you gave Peter a suit of armor. Okay, so this has been Slightly Super. I'm Alex.
I'm Rachel.
I'm Kara.
And we'll see you in the next episode.